Welcome back to Sports Cube. I'm your host, Daniel Shalom, bringing you the very latest in the sports world. I know it's been a long time since I talked to you here on the microphone. It's been nearly a year, and we can blame that on my junior year getting busy with other broadcasting opportunities and projects that I've been doing. But I just wanted to let you know that we are back, sticking to a once-a-week schedule now, starting going forward in the fall. There is lots to talk about, and we are so happy to still have you here listening with us today. And speaking of today, we have an interview with now NCAA Women's Lacrosse Champion who's been featured on the show before, Caitlin Wurzberger. It's going to be a pleasure to have her on in just a bit. And additionally, there's lots to talk about the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, all of baseball, along with football preseason, football season almost coming to a start in just a few weeks. So we're happy to have you back with us. We know it's been a long time, but we are really thanking you for staying with us. And we cannot wait to bring you the latest in the sports world. Once again, Daniel Shalom with you. Stay right with us. We'll be right back with more. This episode is sponsored by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a ticket app that takes the confusion out of buying tickets. They rate each ticket out of 10 so you know if you're getting a good deal or a bad deal. It is also the most reliable way to get cheap tickets to your favorite sporting event, concert, or other event. It is the easiest way to buy tickets. For $20 off your first SeatGeek order, use code SportsCube on the SeatGeek app or on SeatGeek.com. Once again, code SportsCube at checkout for $20 off your first purchase. The Yankees and Mets have been extremely fun to watch this season. It has really brought life to the New York baseball community on both sides. Usually one team's doing better than the other, but this year the Mets sit at 73-39 leading their division. The Yankees sit at 71-41 leading their division, both with sizable leads in the division as well, shaping up for two New York playoff teams. And I don't know when the last time we saw that was, but we have to talk about the Yankees right now in their last 10 games. They are 2-8. They have lost 4 out of 6 to the Seattle Mariners. They got swept in St. Louis, and they dropped one to Kansas City. And I want to start in that St. Louis series. It seems like one night the bats were there and then the other, they couldn't hit a ball for the life of them. And I think that was also the same story in Seattle. Gerrit Cole pitched a great outing yesterday, and they couldn't hit a ball. They lost in 12 innings, 1-0 to the Mariners. And for these Yankees, I think that they really need to refocus a little bit. They have a big series coming up in Boston. And if they can pick up the series win there and head into Tampa Bay, which is the next series they're going to have at home after this 9-game road trip, it would be really beneficial to them. You know, they're coming up on a lot of division play. They can really put this away and make sure that all of the rest of their AL East foes stay in the wild card. Now, the big concern for me, though, is Houston. The Yankees are now a game back on the Houston Astros for the American League. And I feel like if you do not have home advantage, remember, the Yankees have never had home advantage against the Astros in the playoffs. If you don't have home advantage against Houston, I feel like bad things are going to happen, like we've seen in the past. Now, to be fair, these Yankees are looking better than past seasons. There's more than just Aaron Judge. You have Rizzo. You have Stanton, who are hopefully coming back soon. And also, I feel like, and I know I might get some hate for this, Aroldis Chapman is looking a lot better than he has in the past. The Yankees have to make sure that bullpen is nailed down, though, because we saw the arms in the game 2 days ago when they lost 1-0. The bullpen was amazing. Gerrit Cole looked great. You have to make sure those are always on, though, heading into the postseason. And then in the game today, the last game in Seattle, they bring in Albert Abreu after a great outing by Nestor Cortez, and he just gives away the whole game. The Yankees' bullpen is finicky in the fact that they have a great set of three relievers, but when you get into the back end of the bullpen, it's not great, and I feel like that's where they could really hurt them, especially if the offense isn't producing, which they haven't that much in these past few games. And it pains me also to see when the Yankees are playing the Mariners to see Luis Castillo, who got traded from the Reds to the Mariners. The Yankees could have gotten him at the deadline, who has now pitched 3 gems against the Yanks, once in a Cincinnati Reds uniform at Yankee Stadium, another one in a Seattle Mariner uniform at Yankee Stadium, and then in his Mariner home debut, shuts out the Yankees and gets the no decision. So The Yankees, I feel like they'll be fine. They have to figure out Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who's now batting. His OPS, which is his on-base percentage, is the same as Joey Gallo's when he was on the team, and a lot more. But enough with the Yankees. I think that they'll be fine. They have a three-game set coming up in Boston these next few days. I'll be there on Sunday night. But they just have to get back on track, and they will be A-OK. Now for the Crosstown Mets, it's a different story. They're 7.5 games up in the NL East. Their division play is still in contention. Their last 10, they're 8-2. They swept the Cincinnati Reds in these past three games, won 4 out of 5 at home against the Braves, which is huge for them, and also took 2 out of 3 on the road against the Washington Nationals. The Mets' success can't be credited in one place, but you can give credit where credit is due, and that credit is due to Edwin Diaz, who's sporting a 1.39 ERA this season. He has been great. And then also the new addition of Daniel Vogelbach in their Mets lineup. He's batting .333 right now with already 2 home runs, 7 RBIs. He's only played in 14 games, but to have a .333, he is looking great. And then the rest of this lineup, Lindor is having a great season. He's batting .268, 20 home runs, 79 RBIs. Broke the Mets RBI record already for shortstops this year. The only concern for the Mets is that they're a non-experienced postseason team. And for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are 3 games up on the New York Mets, that could be a struggle for the Mets. They're inexperienced, and they'll probably be going on the road if they make it to the CS against the Dodgers, of course, if that all works out. Now, the Mets can't put the division away. They have a 3-game set coming up against Philadelphia for the weekend, and then they head for 4 in a midweek series against Atlanta. In Atlanta, if they can win, at least split those two, I think you can nearly call that division race over. We shall see, but both of these teams, the Yankees and the Mets, will face each other once again at the end of August for one last Subway Series in Yankee Stadium, and who knows, maybe we'll even see them in the World Series. But both of these teams are doing well. I think they'll both be fine down the stretch, and I can't wait to see where they finish. And now, coming up in just a minute, is our interview with UNC Women's Lacrosse champion, Caitlin Wurzberger. Stay right with us. And now I have a very special guest joining us on the show for the second time, Caitlin Wurzberger, UNC Women's LAX champion and U.S. Women's National Team lacrosse player. Caitlin, thanks for being with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So first of all, welcome back. First time we're seeing you, I think, in around 2 years on the dot. We saw you in June of 2020. So for you, just what has changed the most over these last 2 years since we last spoke to you? You were coming off of your senior year in high school to now going into your junior year in college.
I think just like physically and mentally just kind of maturing. You go to college really excited as a freshman to go play and stuff, and you get humbled really quickly. I think going to college always is sports, but I've had a really great experience so far. I think, yeah, just maturing and kind of just coming to who I am as a player and just a human being.
For sure, for sure. I totally agree with that. We've seen you grow as a player on and off the field. Of course, biggest thing for you, national championship, your goal. You got it this year. What is next for you now? You transitioned from the high school to the college level. Can you just take us through that transition of, like you said, maturing from high school to college?
Yeah, I think everyone has their own kind of experience, obviously. Obviously, my freshman class is a little different with COVID. So I think for us, it was a little challenging in terms of just the restrictions and going out and like hanging out with the team and like just wearing a mask everywhere you go, not going to class. So I think that part was kind of hard, but overall, I had a great freshman year. I mean, we lost then, but it was a really cool experience just to start my college career there at UNC. Facilities are amazing. Even though we were on Zoom, it was kind of nice not being in class all the time. I think it could be challenging though, kind of transitioning from freshman into freshman year from senior year in high school, where you're kind of playing with like you're the oldest talent, where now you're kind of the youngest one, the little baby. So I was lucky because I had a lot of upperclassmen that kind of taught me the ropes and kind of how to play the game the right way at UNC. I came into like a lot of fifth years starting, so I was lucky to see the field for my freshman year. But I was taught a lot, and I'm really grateful for the experience I had my freshman year. Even though it was challenging, it still was really rewarding in the end.
Speaking of that reward, you go into UNC freshman year, win the ACC championship. At that point, was that enough for you? Were you satisfied with that season, or were you just hungry and want more immediately right after you won the ACC?
I think I could speak for my whole team that we were hungry for more. Everyone wants to win an ACC championship, but the end goal, I think, at the end is national championship always.
I couldn't agree with you more. And then last season, so let's just go through it. You made it to the NCAA semifinals in your freshman year, falling to BC in a really tight game with a great second half comeback. Can you just take me through the emotions? How long did it take you to process that game, let it sting, and then, you know, be able to use that as fire going into this next season?
I mean, I think it still makes me mad thinking about that game because we could have won. I mean, BC had a great team. They also had a great team this year as well. I mean, I think that was a great learning experience. As a freshman, we made it to the Final Four, and we didn't play our best game. BC had a great game. In the second half, we were almost there. Maybe 5 minutes to go more, we would win, but we'll never know. I really took that as a learning experience again, and just I was more heartbroken for our fifth years who weren't going to see the field again. But I think the next day I was just hungry for more to get back on the field. I think this past fall and just this spring, like, we were determined to win. I think you could see that we didn't have the best games always, but we always found a way to win no matter who we played.
Did you guys emphasize in the locker room that you had a perfect season up till that BC game? How big was that to replicate this year and go all the way, no games lost, 22-0 perfect season?
I don't think Jenny really focused so much on being undefeated. I think you want to be undefeated in the postseason, obviously. I mean, a lot of teams make the tournament, and at the end of the day, if you win ACC championship, that's great, but you're 0-0 going into tournament play, which is what she emphasizes to us. And I think at that point, after we beat everyone, we're like, okay, I think we could do it again a second time.
Yeah, and you guys achieved that. Simulating up to the beginning of this year's season, March 20th, your first matchup with BC after the semifinal loss. What's going through your mind as you guys come out on top of that one, 16-15, and you also notch a goal in the win?
I think it's kind of surreal. That Northwestern game was kind of crazy for us. So I think we still are processing that as we're playing that game. But it was a really quick turnaround. Never played in the second game, we were saying. I think it was a surreal moment. I mean, you kind of dream about winning a national championship as a little girl. Then you could, I think the last minute, you can kind of feel it. The game was close the entire game. So I never really felt satisfied or okay that we were going to win. Even to the last ball. I mean, it's really a surreal moment. I don't know if I have many words to say about it, but you just train all day. You see the lows and highs from every single human on the team, and it really is worth it in the end.
Speaking of that historic championship run, you guys rolled through UVA in the first round, get past Stony Brook, that Northwestern game super hard on both sides. But did you guys feel like at that point in time, it was your year to win and lift the national championship?
I think every person in that room knew it was our year. Something was just different. I don't know. I mean, I think last year we could have won it, but something with this team was just different. I think we had all the attributes. People who weren't even playing really contributed, our scout team, the players. And I think to really win, everyone has to buy in to the system. So I think our team really did a great job at that.
Caitlin, how hard was that semifinal game for you guys? You go into the second half, backs against the wall, losing 8-2. You stage a insurmountable comeback, one of the greatest we've ever seen. What's even the game plan to start chipping away? You do end up scoring and winning. Tell me all about it.
I think just don't give up. Miracles obviously happen, and that was a great miracle for us. I think that lightning delay was a really good reset for us, even though we still didn't come out fast. God put that lightning delay in for us, and thank God we had a timeout. I think we just never really gave up, never kind of broke down. I think in those situations, you as a team can break down very easily and start like kind of blaming each other. And just, I think every time we were just positive, like, okay, it's going to go in. Eventually the ball is going to go in the net. We're going to get the ball. I really felt like that was the game. If like we were going to lose, like I felt that. And I was like, we need to keep pushing. I mean, because the semifinal is hard. Obviously a national championship game is hard as well, but the semifinal is that big hump to get over. And, that comeback, I don't know how we did it, but I think, again, each person did something. I mean, Sam Gerth was insane, scoring 5 goals. But like Allie has a great back check. We have some saves. It was no one gave up, and I think that really shows the character of the UNC women's lacrosse team.
I couldn't agree with you more. What was your feeling heading into that national championship game, knowing that your opponent had won it the year before and had the tools to win it, where you guys had never been in that game and in that situation before?
Yeah, I mean, I think that game never felt close to me, or it always felt close to me. I never felt like someone was going to win it by a large margin. We knew it was going to be a close, chippy game. And they won it the last year, so they kind of knew what it was to take that win. None of our girls ever won that game yet. So, but I think after winning Northwestern, you're like, okay, we have to win this. Had a great comeback. I mean, we knew it was going to be hard, but we beat them before, and I think we had the same mindset. Like, we have the ability to win this game again.
Caitlin, take me through all the emotions when you heard that final whistle blow, knowing that all the hard work you put in the early mornings, the late nights, knowing that you had finally achieved your goal of becoming a national champion.
It's just going nuts. I remember Brooklyn chucked the ball over. I was in the like end, the bottom, so I'm still going for the ball as people are running towards our goalie. I remember just turning and finding Jamie and just running with her. I think it's an insane moment. Like, I still feel like I haven't won, honestly. Like, we've won, but I'm like, do I practice next week? Like, it still kind of doesn't set in. It is a surreal experience when people say, I mean, it's an elite group of players and it's an elite club I'm really excited to be in. I think it was just a really emotional moment in terms of, like, it's a sad and happy moment as this is my last time playing with a lot of the players. A lot of my whole starting line attack was seniors and fifth years, so that was kind of a bittersweet moment. But just to be able to win it and kind of lift off that pressure off our chest was a really nice moment.
You talked about those fifth years and seniors leaving the program. How do you now lead the offensive core going into your junior year at UNC?
Well, you can't do it by yourself, I believe. We have some returners. I mean, we obviously lose a ton of talent and a ton of maturity. But I think just trying to, like, find our identity and who we are again. I think each team is different, Jenny always says, and, like, you're never going to play the same group of players again. And I'm really excited to see the freshmen coming in and just kind of have a new team and new challenges to go after the championship again.
Speaking of new challenges, I want to talk more about Team USA, how things are going around that. You guys won the U19 World Championships a couple of years ago, and now I understand you're playing a new format of lacrosse, so just take me through your current career with Team USA.
Yeah, U19 was a great experience. We won it and beat Canada, which is always a great time. And I was in high school during that, so it's a little bit different. So now I'm doing sixes, which is just a totally complete new format of lacrosse, basically, just a lot smaller, more like box, which I love. I love playing fast, being creative, and that type of game. So it really fits me perfectly. But it's kind of different. I mean, you go from playing a huge college field and just having all the time in the world to playing sixes, where I have to play defense and attack. Playing defense is a little different for me. I like to score more than I like to play defense. But I'm improving there. And it's really exciting because USA, you get to play not just with my UNC girls, but I get to play with a whole different set of players that I'm usually against. And just kind of appreciate their talent and chemistry that I get to form with those players that I never can in college. So that's really exciting. We'll be in Alabama in July 11th to 17th. So I'm really excited just to put back that jersey back on and just kind of show the world and hopefully get to the Olympics one day with the sixes.
Yeah, and speaking of that USA women's lacrosse team, how do you think people like yourself, Jamie Ortega, Charlotte North, are influencing the game of women's lacrosse and also growing it at an unprecedented rate like we've never seen before?
I think right now we're at the most we've ever been with the popularity of the sport. And I think this is the climb that we've been waiting for. I think players like Charlotte and Jamie and Belle and like me, we're really trying to use our platforms to really expand the sport. And I don't even know what the viewer number was, but the numbers for the national championship are insane. And like, just girls are all over asking for signatures and autographs and pictures. And I think that's just, it just shows the sport has come a long way, especially for women. I think men's lacrosse is even more popular than we are, but they're climbing as well, which is great. I think just the more we can make it worldwide, not just the United States, with this USA is great for us.
And now to wrap up, probably the sweetest thing that you've ever experienced in your whole career was lifting that national championship. What's next for you?
Another one, I think. Just get another one. Maybe two more if I'm lucky.
We hope that you get two more in the rest of your playing career. Caitlin Wurzberger, thank you once again for joining us here today on Sports Cube. We really appreciate it. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Once again, we thank Caitlin for being on the show. We really appreciate her and congratulate her once again on winning the NCAA National Championship for D1's women's lacrosse. Now, as we look forward, the Jets and the Giants are getting back into preseason football action. The Giants taking on the New England Patriots in Foxborough tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then the Jets in action on Friday in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. So that wraps up our show. Thank you once again for joining us. I know it's been a long time, but we really appreciate it. We will have more guests on soon, and you are going to want to hear these stories. They are amazing. Once again, thank you for joining us. Let us know if you have any feedback. Make sure to follow us on Instagram. Hit us up if you have any questions or if you want to be featured on the show. And until next time, peace out.